blessed, Lord, tonight. We thank God for being in the house of prayer one more time. Amen. We just bless the Lord for his goodness, kindness, and mercy.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for the election. How many of you just glad the election's over?
Amen.
Amen. This has been a different type of election. Amen. First time ever had protesting and rioting over an election. Amen. But nevertheless, God is still in control. Yeah, I've never seen so many people crying over the election. Amen. God is in charge. Amen. So nothing's going to happen unless God gives them permission anyway. Amen. So if I'm going to get into all the politics, if I'm going to do like a lot of preachers, all these people were predicting that somebody was going to win and they lost. So I guess we're going to line them all up and start stoning them, because that's all the time. No, nevertheless, we bless them all. Amen. We thank God. God works according to his will. Amen. And the Christian's prayer should be, Lord, have your way.
Amen.
We're supposed to pray for whoever's in authority anyway. So, amen. And I was telling Shaira, I'm trying to get the mind of God about which direction to go. Amen. Because I got two directions to go, but we don't have to. Do we have, anybody have 3 hours to stay here tonight?
No.
Hey, the Chinese used to stay in church for 8 to 12 hours a day. I know we don't want to intrude on your American patience. That is a no. Amen. So we're finished, Lord. We'll finish up. We started on Sunday about there's hope. Amen. In spite of how everything appears, even with the election, how many know for the child of God there's still hope? Amen. In spite of what things appear to be, God is still in charge. And nothing happens that catches God by surprise. So our thing is, we're going to pray for whoever's in charge, because no matter what they purpose to do, if God says no, they can't do it anyway. So we bless the Lord, and we lift the Lord up, and we thank God for his kindness and his mercy. Amen. I want to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. As I said on Sunday, we have so many more scriptures that we could have gone over, but we didn't want to belabor the moment and keep you past your appointed time. Amen. So we're going to turn to Psalms 130 tonight. And we're still dealing with there's hope. And don't ever give up. How many know there's hope?
Yeah.
Whatever you might be experiencing tonight, don't ever give up. So we're going to read the entire psalm, starting from verse 1, and we'll conclude with verse 7. If we all have it, can we say amen? And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Verse 1 reads, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Once again, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, but in his word do I, hallelujah. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. May the Lord have blessed to the reader of his word. The church said, bless me, may you be seated. Amen. So we're still dealing with hope. Amen. And you know, I tried to prepare to get everything right, but you know, sometimes in preparations, you know, the Lord just takes you so many different takes me, right? So many different directions, amen. But I was once again going over what it means to hope in the Lord, to wait for the Lord, and to trust. Now on Sunday we went over the one word for hope, wait, and trust is the word quava, which is Q-A-V-A-H. And that means to take a strand. know, you take a strand and you keep binding it. And you keep binding that strand till it becomes a rope, right? And how many know even a rope has tensile strength where it stretches? Well, God uses every one of our situations that we go through as a strand. And the purpose of that strand is to strengthen us. So every time we go through something, the rope is being bound together. Amen. Like if I take a piece of paper, right? If I just take a piece of paper, right? If by itself there's no strength, I can do what? I can tear. Right? And if I take the same paper, I'm going to look at somebody and say the same paper. I'm going to take the same paper now that it is bound together. Right? By itself, I can do what? Tear. Now, the same paper, when it's bound together, I cannot
tear.
I can't tear because it's bound together, so there is strength. So, when the Lord talks about hope, every time we go through a situation, that's a strand. And God uses that strand to bind us together to give us strength. Amen. So, in hope, you're not alone because God is with you. The binding power in hope is God.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So the psalmist said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear. If you don't do anything else, you know, when people are calling this one and that one, it's time to call upon the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. It's time to call unto God. Say, hear little my voice, let thine ear be attentive to the voice of mine. He said, Lord, I need help, and I'm crying out to you, so I need you to hear my supplication. He said, the Lord, even in my frailty, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who then, if God were to hold all of our faults, who would be able to sin? So God uses our strength to teach us to do his will. So every time we go through a circumstance or a situation, God uses that strand to bind. So he said, I don't like it. It's still a strand to bind. Now the problem is, if you don't bind the rope properly, and when you start pulling on it, it comes apart, guess what you have to do? Bind it again. So when we don't pass our test the proper way, that strand, whatever that test is, that's a strand. If you don't pass that strand, you got to do it again, because even a chain is as strong as its what? So when you link it all together, you get weakness, right? So you go through a trial, and you know you failed that trial. Be assured of one thing. It's coming back. Right? Because God is using that strand to bind. And every time you pass the test, God is putting that rope together. And it's getting stronger and stronger to the point that nothing can break your spiritual will. Not your human will, because it's not by might, nor by power, but the Lord says by mind. So David is crying out to God. He said, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. He said, in all of this trouble that I'm in, he said, I'm going to do what? Quiet. I'm going to wait for the Lord. Now we said on Sunday to wait, to hope for the Lord is to have a, what kind of expectation? Joyful expectation with confidence. So I don't understand it, but one thing I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded. So my confidence and joy is in the Lord. So it's joyful expectation with confidence, knowing that the Lord will work everything out favorably for us, because the scripture says, and we know that. I don't understand. Lord, I can't figure it out. This strand that I'm binding together, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but one thing I do know is that it's going to work together for good. Why? Because we love God. Right? And we are called according to his purpose. So David said, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I have hope. So many times when we're in our wits end and don't know where to go, we run to everything. But how many know the did in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So he said, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch. How many know the morning comes every day? Now this is, we're dealing with God and his faithfulness. And we're dealing with God and we can't figure it out, but he said, just as sure as the morning comes, that's how much confidence I have in God. We know that there's going to be a morning and there's going to be a night. Right? You might be in Alaska, it might not be much of a night, but there will be a morning and there will be a night. So God gives us hope. What is our hope? It's in his word. What is God's word? It's his covenant. God's covenant is a promise that he's made every last one of us. That is God's covenant. Now let's turn to Jeremiah 33 for a moment, and then we're going to come back to finish up here in Psalms. So Jeremiah 33, let's go to verses 20 and 21. Now he said, I'm waiting for the Lord just as sure as the morning is coming. How many know the morning is coming?
Amen.
Then that's your confidence. God said, listen, just like you know the morning is coming, nobody can make you doubt whether it's going to be a day. He said, don't you doubt me. That's how much you can trust God. So verse 20 of Jeremiah 33 reads as such. Thus saith the Lord, verse 19 said, the word of the Lord first came to Jeremiah saying. What came to Jeremiah?
The word of
the Lord. Your hope is in his word. Right? In the beginning, you know, what's the word? The word was with God, and the word was God. So the word of God came to Jeremiah, and it said, verse 20, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break, the covenant is with them. You know what he said? That's a promise. That's something you can have full confidence in. He said, now, this is how good my word is. This is how you can have confidence in my word. He said, if you can break my covenant with David and my covenant, because every day we live, there's going to be a day and there's going to be a night. We're not talking about the length, but there will be a day and there will be a night. Well, how do we know that? Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God said, right? God said, let there be light. Then he set the sun in the sky to rule the greater light and the moon to rule the lesser light. So God spoke day and night into existence through his
word.
So God said, you can count on the word. He said that there should not be day and night in their season. So we know that there's going to be a day and a night. And then he says in the next verse, he said, then may also my, listen, your God won't break a covenant. He said that, how do we know God won't make his covenant? We know that tonight is night. When we sleep tonight and rise in the morning, that would be, God said, just as sure as there's day and night, you can trust my covenant. And you can hope in my word. He said, the only way that you can't trust my covenant is that day and night has to cease. Amen. So God is trying to draw a parallel with us having hope. Amen. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I just don't believe it's going to happen. Remember what we went over last week, which I was going to touch on. Don't reason your way out of your miracles. Right? You're thinking way too much. Just accept God and his word. Don't try to figure out what God's going to do. Somebody said, well, I don't know what God's going to do. If God has spoken it to your spirit, now I'm not talking about somebody else spoken to it. You know, because a lot of people will speak stuff into us, but it's not of God. God said, they ran, but I didn't send them. They prophesied, and God said, but I didn't speak. But I'm saying in your private time, when you know God has spoken to you, if you know God has spoken to you, you say, Lord, I don't question whether or not you're going to do it. Just as sure as there's day and night, God will honor his covenant. Amen. Now let's go. We're talking about having what? Hope. God cannot lie. God will not lie. Amen. And we got to trust God that he will do what he says. Well, let me finish verse 7 of Psalm 107, well, Psalm 130. It says, let For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Now let's go to Titus chapter 1. Amen. Titus chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 2 of Titus. We're actually going to read verses 1 and 2 of Titus chapter 1. Amen. So we're talking about tonight having what? Hope. Hope. Well, what is hope? Hope is a binding relationship with God and a joyful expectation with confidence. There are a lot of people that are expecting, but they don't have confidence. There are a lot that are expecting God, but they don't have joy. There are a lot that are expecting God, but they don't have the confidence to believe by faith that it's going to all work out together for the good. The Lord told the children of Judah when they were in their worst state spiritually. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now you probably look at your situation and say, wow, God is not with me. God said, no, I'm thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an end. That's an end with hope. That is confidence. That is a favorable outcome because God is with me. Well, Titus 1:1 reads, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the... Is it possible to please God without faith? According to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth which is after. So if you're not being truthful according to godliness, and we're going to look up a couple of scriptures about how God sees things that are not in truth. All right, so just we'll come back to this one. All right, truth which is after godliness. Now, what does God think about individuals that are not truthful, right, that are not honest? Proverbs 12:22, then we're going to come back. Can you get that for me, Sharon? 12:22, we're going to come back to this one. Now, you're going to approach God how? Truthful. Amen. And a little later in this chapter, God says, not purloining. Right? P-U-R-L-O-I-N-E. P-U-R-L-O-I-N-I-N-E. Purloining. Purloining means to steal slightly, and it also means to spiritually plagiarize. Right? Spiritually, we know about plagiarization, right, from the, what's that, Charles White speech, we know about that. You know what it means to plagiarize. Right? You steal something that ain't yours, and make you look real good. Well, to spiritually plagiarize means to act like somebody else and it ain't you. Amen. That's stealing. Yeah. Well, I know God can do this, but you're not being honest. Because you're not doing it for what you know God can do for you, but you are plagiarizing. Amen. You're presenting someone else's testimony, and so is your testimony. That's called stealing. Right? I'm helping you out. P-U-R-L-I-N-I-N-G. Purloining. It's a spiritual plagiarism. I know God can do this, and God did this, and God... Don't repeat what somebody else did. That's not you. That is not honest. So, Paul said God can help you if it's according to the faith by truth according to godliness. So, 12:22 reads, what kind of lips are an abomination to the Lord? If you're not honest, that is called a... Well, God says, wait a minute. If you're representing something that's not truthful, that is a lie. The Bible says that is a what? An abomination to man.
Lord.
That's an abomination to who? To the Lord. Amen. But he that dealeth truly on is his. So God takes pleasure or you're well pleasing when you are honest. But we say, well, I know God can do this. You know how we get the rhymes and the cliches and we sound really good? But that ain't you. That is purloining. That is you stealing somebody else's testimony, but that's not what you believe in your heart. And you're saying it, but it's not truthful. So if it's not truthful, it is. And who's the father of all liars? Satan is the father of all liars. So God does not delight in those that misrepresent the truth. If you're saying one way, you're acting this way, you're acting that way, stop purloining. Because plagiarism is not, that's not what you really believe, that's what someone else. Right? So you're representing someone else, but it's not you. God does not have pleasure in that. That's an abomination to God. Now go to Proverbs 10:18. We're just dealing with right now lying. Not for y'all, this is for the internet, so don't get quiet on me, please. Because right? We ain't talking about you. Listen, it's you, right? We learn to mimic salvation, but we don't really have it in our hearts. Because if it's in our heart, that's the real us. We don't misrepresent it. The truth is according to what? Godliness. There is no lie in godliness. So the scripture says, he that if you hide it, it's a hatred, but if you hide anything, with what?
Kindness.
Wait a minute. You're saying one thing, but you're living. So you're hiding the truth. Well, how are you hiding the truth? With lying lips. It says, and he that uttereth a stop running, talk about people. That's lying. Now, we're talking about lying lips. I'm just throwing this in. This ain't for none of y'all. So don't take it personal. Listen to look at it. No, you know, I got a little diary. A lot of diaries aren't written down. A lot of them are right up here. Right? You know in your little diary. Have you been misrepresenting? God does not take pleasure in that. That's why we don't have hope. That's why our rope is getting weaker instead of stronger. He that loves a liar is a fool. Then that word fool means they are self-centered. It's all about them. If ever there was a time in the history of mankind where people are so self-centered, everything revolves around them as today. God said, but that is a fool. They don't put God first. It's all about them. Amen. I can't go to all those scriptures. Wow. I'm going to try to stay the course. That's just something else that's game. I ain't going to go there. Tell me to stay on the course. I can't stay on the course if God takes it another way. But I'm going to try to stay on this. All right. Let's go back. Man, I got to go there. I got to go there. All right. Because self-centered, you know, when things all become all about me, if any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him first. The fool will not deny himself. Everything about the fool is this, my way or no. But let's go back. Let's finish up this in Titus about God before we go any further. Verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life. So the hope is in eternal life. The hope is in God. Which God they cannot lie promise us before the world began. God cannot lie. God will not lie. But we cannot be self-centered. Now I gotta go to Luke 12. I wasn't gonna go there, but I gotta go there because it came to me as I was speaking, so it must apply. Amen. You can't hide lying lips and slander to be self-centered. That is not God. Amen. So let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. It's something we're all pretty familiar with. And when you read it up at the end of it, it's kind of important, but let's go to verse 15. All right, this is Jesus giving a parable. Okay, verse 15 said, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, because a man's life is not about what you can get, what you can attain or have down here. A man's life consists not in the abundance. Self-centered. Don't worry about it. You know what's the Lord? Listen, God has made us a promise, right? He came that we might have life. And then we might have it. That was spiritual. That wasn't natural. Lord, if you just take care of everything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, when we do, if we just do God's will and seek God first, we don't have to add the rest because he will add it. But if you're not representing the truth of God in godliness, and you're just pursuing your own endeavors, that is called covetousness. All right? So he goes on to say in verse 16, and he's made a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man bought forth plentifully. And he
profited in his house.
That's what he messed up at, right? Because he is the fool. Because he's all about him. He thought within himself, saying,
what shall I do?
And, right? What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow all of my. So what's the. What is, he's not even considering God. What shall I do? Amen. And the next verse says, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build
greater.
And then will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, but we talk about the fool, right? The fool is self-centered. Everything about the fool revolves about what I can do. But the God said, thou fool,
this
night, so thy soul be required of thee. And then what about all that stuff that you got up? Right. Solomon said, you know what, he said, you can get all that stuff and you have it. Then after you die, go, who knows if a fool will come by and waste everything that you got. So he said, thou fool, this night is our soul required of thee. Right? And he said, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up, but is. It's all right for you to have, but don't leave God out. So what made this man a fool is that he left God out. If you read every verse, he keeps saying, I. And brothers and sisters, keep God first. That's why we lose hope, because we take God out of the equation. So I just had to go there. Amen. All right, let's get back to keeping the main thing.
The main thing.
All right. So God allows us to go through challenges and hard times, not to overthrow us, but to help us. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. We went over this Sunday, and I'm just going to touch on a couple of verses here. We know that God made a promise to Abraham, and we know even though God made Abraham the promise, it seemed impossible. It seemed like it was a hopeless situation. But verse 18 says, Abraham, who against hope, even though it seemed impossible, and if you were to equate it in today's English, it meant even though science, medicine, and nature was against Abraham and Sarah having a child, they did not give up because God made them a promise. And remember, just as sure as there's going to be a day and there's going to be a night, God will honor his promise. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Don't let somebody else say, well, God won't do this and God won't do that. God will do just what he says. Amen. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And verse 21 says, and being. 21. That's 20.
Foolish
being.
Foolish
God will not take it back.
Amen.
So, well, how do we know? Every morning you wake up, there's day.
Amen.
And that night. God said, if you can change my covenant with day and night, then you can change my covenant with the promise that I made you. And verse 23 says, that it was not written for his God did not put that in the Bible for his sake alone, but for us. Right? Now let's go to Romans 15, verse 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 6. Now we're talking about the promises of God, not the promises of a man, not the promises of the pastor. We're talking about what God has promised you. That's why it's so important that you have some secret closet experiences. Right? Because in the secret closet, God speaks to who's in the closet. Right? So God said, don't bring a whole lot of people. You know what God tell you going to your secret closet? There's some times when you got to pray just by yourself. Right? So you're not distracted by somebody else's crying. You ever praise it? Man, when they just tone it down. Years ago, I used to pray. I'll tell you what I used to do. I used to pray, right? So somebody finally figured it out. When I used to pray, I used to get tired of listening to people all the time. So this is how I used to pray. Try this sometime. Pray like this. My thumbs were blowing my ears. Seriously, I used to pray when I would be like this. So my thumbs were blowing. My thumbs were coming to blow my ears. So they were just calling me away. It's like, you can't hear us? Let me tell you. Wow, you got your ears plugged. Yes. You know, like sometimes you need to drown a couple people out so you can get a hold of God for yourself. So when y'all see me praying, and if you see, I don't have headache. I'm not my favorite portion. I just try. That's way too old for some of y'all, nevertheless. Right? But sometimes you have to drown people out. Because you need to get a hold of God for yourself. So sometimes, even in the midst of lots of people, I would drown them out because I want to hear from God for myself. Amen. It's so important. So Romans 15, 4 reads, now we just said that what God wrote about Abraham was not for Abraham alone, but it was for us. Well, why? Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Spirit. Somebody said, I don't have hope. Where's your patience? Where's your comfort in the these things are written aforetime. So that when I read it, I say, if God did it for him, then God can do it for me. If God can make the Bible says about Abraham, I believe in the 17th verse of chapter 4, it says, he quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not. Yes, Lord. Only God can make something out of. He said, well, these things are written aforetime that you through patience and comfort of the scripture might have
hope.
Yes. Now you can be assured, if you try to have hope, the devil is going to get somebody to try to break your hope. All right? So now let's go to Romans chapter 3. Amen? Are y'all still with me? We don't want to lose our hope. Now, one of the biggest challenges to you not having hope is people. Individuals. Whether they're spiritual or unspiritual. Whether they're leaders or not leaders. These people will make you lose your hope. Actually, we're going to go to chapter 3, but let's go to chapter 5 first. All right. Now we're talking about hope, quava, binding it together. You know? Lord, when my rope is finished, I want it to be so big I can pull 10 or 12 tractor trailers. That's a serious rope, right? But that's because you let God bind it together. Chapter 5, verse 1, read for all, Romans. Therefore, being justified by
faith,
as long as you have faith, you never have to worry about not being justified. As long as you have faith, you never have to worry about whether or not God will do what he says. But you got to have confidence and faith in God. Somebody said, well, how in the world are you happy with everything falling apart because I have hope?
Yes.
Hope is a joyful expectation with confidence. Remember that. When everything looks impossible, say, I still have a joyful expectation. A lot of people expect something, but I know it ain't going to be good. That's not God. That's not hope. Right? That is called, the Bible talks about that when they are persecuted or when you're perplexed, being in despair, that is hopelessness. As a church, we should always have hope because God is the God of hope. Amen. But verse 1 reads, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. Somebody said, I don't have peace. Peace. Because what is your relationship like with God? Because he will keep you in perfect peace for your mind, patience, and comfort of the scripture might have hope. When everything seems like the world is falling apart, what do I run to? I run to God because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a
strong tower.
Where's the? When you're just standing and doing what's pleasing to God, you can run into that tower and be safe. In whom also we have access
by faith
into this grace. Where we stand and rejoice
in hope.
We rejoice in
hope.
Well, without faith, how are you going to rejoice in hope? How are you going to have a joyful expectation if you don't have faith? Now, we're not talking about spiritual plagiarism faith. Well, I got, but God did it for them, and in your heart, you don't really believe God can do it. That's plagiarism. That means you're borrowing somebody else's faith, but you don't really believe it. That's like you just stand up and tell a whole story and they say, wow, that was astounding. Until they find it in the book. And it wasn't yours. Whatever the name talk is. I don't know what name. I know Nirvana was the first one. I don't know who the second one is. Who? Yeah, that's right. Maybe they might listen. He might listen to this message. I don't know. I don't know him as a president. Put no executive on. But you don't want to have that kind of faith. Right? You don't want to have the faith of somebody else. You don't want to misrepresent who you are. Amen? Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in. You know, I don't understand it, Lord, but I still going to give you the glory. I still got the praise. I still got joy. You're going through tribulation, but I still got joy. Everything is falling apart, but I still got joy. Glory in tribulation. Also knowing that tribulation worketh
patience.
Now patience means this. You know how a lot of times, like recently they had this work they were doing out here, we had to go on a detour, and we had to go out off track, go out of direction. When you don't have patience, that means you go on a detour. Patience means to be unswerved. Don't allow anything to make you lose your focus. That is patience. So I'm going through tribulation, but I still got my focus. I'm not detoured. I'm not swerving. I'm not going left, right. Jesus said, go straight. I'm going straight. And I'm not going to turn unless he turns, right? And patience, experience, and experience hope. But how can that all work? Because
hope.
If you got hope, you don't have to be ashamed. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. Keep your hope. Keep your joy. Keep your confidence. Right? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, we can't lose our confidence, right? Because hope makes us not ashamed because of you got the Holy Ghost in your heart. So you don't have to worry about being ashamed unless you're trusting in yourself. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, how?
With the Holy Ghost.
the Holy Ghost, which is
given
unto us. So don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your hope. Somebody said, I don't know. If you can still speak in tongues, if you can still get a hold of God, and one of the samurai said, if you can just telephone the glory. Oh, what? Listen, there ought to be joy in salvation. Yes, we get some bumpy and some rough roads, but when you're seeking the Father God, God can take those rough roads and he'll smooth them out. Because our confidence is in God. Now, what makes us lose our confidence? Now let's go to Romans chapter 3. I did have hope. I did have joy until I started talking to somebody and they messed me up. Don't allow people to have a greater influence on you than God's word. Don't allow anyone. I don't care if it's archbishop, chief, apostle, whatever. They can't have a greater influence on you than God's word. Amen? He says, verse 3 reads, for what if some, so you believe, but some don't believe. Don't allow what they don't believe to influence you if you believe, right? Shall there make the what? You mean God's going to break his covenant with you because somebody else don't believe? Hallelujah. That's why we passed by that bank and just put up. Every time we go by, that's why I could not deal with that man. That man was trying to break my belief. So pastor, go get you another church. I'm going to go take, you know what, I'll take a picture. Y'all got somebody on camera? Take a picture of it. No, I ain't going to do that. But don't allow someone else to break your faith. Shall their faith, their unbelief, make the word of God a what? Not affect. God forbid that. Let who be true? And everybody that's telling you what God can do and God said he could do, they got to be a what? A liar. Amen? As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sin and mightest. Somebody said, I'm not overcoming because you're listening to the wrong voice. Don't allow someone else to talk you out of your faith. Is this like when we wake up in the morning, we're going to say what? Day, right? As sure as it's going to be a day and a night, God's promises are that true to us. So every time that doubt creeps into your mind, say, no, you can't make me doubt him. Because I know. How many know too much about God tonight? I know too much about him. You cannot make me doubt him in my heart. Now, let's go to Isaiah 40. We'll close here. I was reading Isaiah 40. I said, man, that's a whole lot of extra stuff in there. But tonight, y'all told me I can't have 3 hours, so I can't go on the extra stuff. So y'all got to go figure it out for yourself. All right? You got to go figure it out for yourself. I was reading, I said, wow. You know, it's just, God is amazing. Right? When you read God's word, it's just amazing. Right? We're going to start at verse 25. But read up in the beginning of that. There's some serious stuff in the beginning of this chapter. Right? And we're talking about waiting on God, having hope. David said, wait on the Lord to be of weak courage. Be of broken courage. Be downtrodden. Be overwhelmed. Wait on the Lord and be a good person, and he shall. So when you wait on God, when you quarrel, when you twine it, when you bind it, when you wrap it up, God will give you strength. Right? Good courage. God will give you strength. So Isaiah 40, 25 reads, to whom then will ye? Listen, there's nobody in this world that we compare God to. God, when it comes to God, he's in an arena. He's in an area all by himself. There's no one cannot compare to God. To whom will you like to be? Shall I be equal, said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who has created? Who's created everything? God. God said, listen, there ain't nobody that can do what I can do. In your time of need and desperation, trust God. That bringeth out hosts by numbers and calls them all by name by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in God is strong. And not one fell. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is God sees and God knows. Don't ever get to the point that you don't think God knows what you're going through. He knows. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. He said, hast thou not known? Hast thou not? Whatever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Amen. As I heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creators of the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. When it comes to God, there is you cannot figure out how God's gonna do it because he's God. God doesn't consult with any of us. He knows how he's going to work it out. But you cannot lose your hope. God has all power. God is not subject to man. Listen, God is not even subject to the laws of nature. Remember when he was in the boat with his disciples and the wind was blowing and the ship filled up with water and they said, Master, care not that we are about to die. The Lord said, he just got up and spoke to the wind. Listen, this is the kind of God we serve. You know, everybody else has been doing this and doing that. The Lord just got up and said, peace, be still. He said, there was a great storm on the sea. When the Lord spoke, he said, and then there was a great calm. All he had to do was speak. The disciples looked at the Lord and said, what matter? What matter, man, is this? That he's speaking to the wind and the sea. And they obey him? Yes, Lord. That's the kind of God we serve. Right? He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he will increase their strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall, but father, right? What are you doing? I'm just buying. I'm not just waiting, but I have an expectation, so I'm just binding and binding. I'm making a strong, my own stronger and stronger. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew. Look at somebody, I'm just waiting for my chance to come. Well, how am I going to wait all the days? Listen, your point of time is, as long as you're alive, have hope. Don't allow your hope to die. Don't allow anything to change, as we all say, that's far enough. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your praise. And don't lose your faith. God will. Listen. Let God be true. Let who be true? God. And let every man be a liar. You know what that means? And that's just, there's going to be people that's going to try and talk you out of what God has for you. Don't listen to that. Somebody said, well, how are you so sure God's going to do it? Because I woke up this morning and was there. And the night was night. And God says, as sure as I have that covenant with day and night, so is my covenant with you. My promises are sure and my promises are steadfast. If God has spoken anything to our spirits tonight,